Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. This edition of Vegan Nation celebrates Earth Day, April 22nd. We're going to start out with a snippet of a song called Plant the Seeds by Daniel Redwood.
Thrive in cities, towns, and villages across the countryside, where the plants of a fruitful harvest are all the food we need, so cows and pigs and birds and fish can live forever free. I want to live and air are protected and defended by people everywhere, and where a thousand generations can follow when we're gone, in a world still ripe with promise, with a dream to carry on.
Yes, and it's possible. I'm very happy that joining us here in the studio is Steve Beer, who is an engineer, scientist, and environmentalist, and he heads the Clean Plate Initiative of the environmental group 350mass.org, which makes the connection between global warming, greenhouse gases, and what's on your plate. Welcome, Steve, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here, Marlene.
So what is the Clean Plate Initiative?
The Clean Plate Initiative focuses upon the fact that predominant amounts of greenhouse gases are created by the animal agricultural industry.
And I like this quote from one of the flyers that you brought in from the United Nations. A global shift towards a vegan diet is vital to save the world from hunger, fuel poverty, and the worst impacts of climate change.
Yeah.
And Steve, environmentalism has been an interest of yours since you were a young boy, and your early interest looked at life, environment, and nature through a planetary lens that was more of a motion picture through time rather than a snapshot. Can you give us more words on that?
At a young age, I recognized that I'm on a planet, one of many, although at the time all they knew about was the nine planets, now eight, because Pluto fell off the planetary category. But I recognized there were more planets outside of our solar system. And I saw the Earth as a interaction of soil, biota, meaning animals and people, and the atmosphere. As a result, I did want to become a planetary scientist, fell short a little bit, became a geologist. So I studied the Earth. But I still had an eye on my contemporaries, both human and non-human. And I recognize that the non-human contemporaries of mine, you know, the cows, the chickens, the dogs, the horses, the birds, had a bad shake or a bad rapport among humans. Humans thought of them as being secondary, whatever. They had no right to a good life. And that was problematic for me. I've spent most of my life working as an animal advocate, trying to protect animals. My concerns with the environment came on later on when I realized that animals have to live in the same environment as we do, and if it's hot and they're used to the cold, they're not going to do so well, like the polar bears having a tough time right now finding ice floes. They can swim far, but they can't swim that far, and they end up drowning because their food source is further away from the ice than the ice floes will take them, so they end up swimming to death, basically drowning. And you have animals that are used to the heat, but not desertification heat, so that they end up burning to death or just dehydrating. Many animals are going extinct as humans branch out into more and more areas and territories, taking it over for themselves. They take away habitat from animals, and I was concerned about that too. So I spent much of my time, or a lot of my time, trying to protect animals. And now it's just one more facet of it, the environment. And this all comes under the umbrella of peace. I'm a peace activist also, and I'm trying to make this a peaceful planet. One of the things that I was interested in when I was very young was exploring new worlds, new planets. And it came to me at one day that if we go into space and see creatures on a new planet that look like our cows, if we don't conquer our belligerence problem, we're going to eat them. We're going to attack them and eat them. And until we conquer our belligerence problem, I turn my back on space exploration so that when we do go into space, it'll be for the benefit of all, not for the benefit of one species.
Thank you, Steve. That's right. It's raising the level of vibrations and the higher consciousness. And how long have you been vegan?
I've been vegan for about 25 years now. It was a work in progress. My holdout for 8 years was pancakes, which basically means I was using milk and eggs in my pancakes. I found out one day when I went to a restaurant in Allston, Mass, that you can actually make pancakes without milk and eggs. So I walked in a vegetarian and walked out a vegan.
Oh, that's great. Yep. Vegan pancakes take over the world.
It's a peaceful thing.
It is. It's all interconnected. It's the intersectionality of all of it. And whether it's the peace movement, the women's rights movement, the feminist movement, anti-violence, social justice, food justice, it's all connected. And it all begins on our plates. When we practice justice and peace, kindness and respect on our plates, it will expand throughout the universe.
Hopefully it does it quickly.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it in my lifetime.
I want to live in a country where the rivers run clean through sunlit valleys and rolling fields of grain. I want to live in a land where healing breezes blow through highlands and lowlands. Everywhere you go, I want to live in a world where no one lives in fear of violence or hunger. And let the time draw near when we end the war on animals and the war on Mother Earth. Nurture deep within our hearts a vision of rebirth. I believe we're gonna see that world one day. I believe, yes I do. You gotta plant the seeds, keep the faith, give it time to grow, grow in me, grow in you.
Clean Plate Initiative is trying to get people to get meat off their plate. When most people think about the culprits behind climate crisis, we tend to think about big oil or dirty coal-fired plants and cars and industrial skylines, factories and smokestacks. You can reduce more greenhouse gases by not eating animal products than you will by not traveling a certain distance. There's equations of basically you can have one hamburger, or the equivalent of greenhouse gas would be to drive your car roughly about 30 miles. That's pretty amazing. You can have one hamburger or you can drive your car 30 miles, same amount of greenhouse gas produced. So yes, we focus upon animal agriculture as a major producer of powerful greenhouse gases. And those include methane and nitrous oxides. The livestock sector is a moderate or minimal in the amount of carbon dioxide they produce emissions, only about 9%. But as far as the amount of methane, that's 37%. Methane is about 26% more potent than carbon dioxide, or if you want to do it by mathematically, for every pound of methane in the atmosphere, that's equal to 25 pounds or 26 pounds of carbon dioxide. Animal agriculture also puts out about 65% of the nitrous oxides into the atmosphere, which basically means that animal agriculture is the prime stakeholder, pardon the pun, of nitrous oxide. Now, nitrous oxide is 300 times more potent than carbon dioxide, so if you do the math, you can have 1 pound of nitrous oxides being reduced, put into the atmosphere or you can have 300 pounds of carbon dioxide. That's what brings us to Clean Plate Initiative. Those numbers, by the way, come from the UN Food and Agriculture Organization report. That's a committee on the UN. They put a report out called Livestock's Long Shadow, and in it they say the livestock sector is a major player responsible for 18% of greenhouse gas emissions measured in CO2 equivalent. This is higher than transportation.
So I like what you're saying is that we have the power in our own hands, in our own forks right now, every day, every meal, to help reverse the global climate breakdown.
That's true, right.
When are your meetings with the Clean Plate Initiative for those who want to help out and join in on this great cause?
The Clean Plate Initiative is an initiative of the 350mass.org organization. 350mass.org meets on the first and third Wednesday of each month over at Worcester State University, usually in the Gauche building. There's usually signs up to tell you where to go. I'd like to expound a little bit upon the equivalence of greenhouse gases in the food you eat. Basically, if you were to eat a pound of lentils or tomatoes or dry beans or tofu or broccoli or nuts or peanut butter or rice or potatoes, it puts about 2 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent into the atmosphere. Okay, so that's 2.5 carbon dioxide equivalents to produce those foods and get them to your table. If you were to eat beef, that's 27 carbon dioxide equivalents. That's roughly about 54 times the amount of carbon dioxide. Cheese is no better, roughly about 13 carbon dioxide equivalents. Pork, turkey, chicken, they're all up there in the teens also. So you can see very quickly, if you were to eat day in and day out animal products at each meal, you can multiply that out and you'll come up with hundreds of millions of pounds of carbon dioxide that you're putting out. Of course, we're multiplying times the year into the atmosphere. Most of that carbon dioxide that's liberated into the atmosphere is at production, meaning that when you take a cow from a calf through to slaughter, you're expelling out into the atmosphere, methane into the atmosphere, and they also leave waste behind. 4 times as much waste is produced by cows in this country than is produced by people. People waste is treated. Unfortunately, cow, pig, chicken waste is not treated. Sometimes it gets sprayed back onto the fields for fertilizer, which also puts nitrates into the atmosphere, which creates havoc. And sometimes it's not treated. It's put into lagoons or just left there to decay. And that's putting a very heavy burden on the atmosphere as far as greenhouse gases.
The path of destruction, you see it everywhere. They clear cut the rainforest, graze their cattle there. That's the lungs of the planet with cancer breaking out. More greenhouse gas, more heat, more drought. Millions go hungry while we use our grain to fatten up the animals, spread disease and pain. And now the oceans are dying. Most of the fish are gone. But we don't stop, no, we just keep pushing on. Destroying what's been there for countless years. The coral reefs, the magnificent whales, and the fish on your plate is the death of the sea. When you make the connections, the truth will set you free. Time to choose a new story where the words come from your heart. Use your life as a force for good. There's never gonna be a better time to start. Begin with compassion for all of life. Choose peace, not war. And if we eat just plants, we'll only need a fraction of the land we used before. A fraction of the water, a fraction of the fossil fuel.
If you were to produce fruits, vegetables, nuts, you're producing much, much less, to the tune, say, if the average animal product was roughly about 27 units of greenhouse gas equivalent, carbon dioxide greenhouse gas equivalent. You're looking at the vegetables, nuts, and grains as being about 2 carbon dioxide equivalents. There's a lot of protection of the environment from greenhouse gas warming. There's also another benefit of eating vegan rather than eating as a carnist, and that is eating animal products takes a toll on your health with heart disease, clogged arteries, diabetes. They're seeing dementia is also associated with eating animals. In addition, environmentally, not dealing with the atmosphere, but with the ground, the wastewater from animal operations, animal agriculture, is horrific. It's ruining the water table. Actually, it sucks out a lot of the water table. A large aquifer in the Midwest that was used for years and years, it's drying up because of so much water being used to process animals for animal food for people. Whereas with plants, let's do it this way for comparison. It takes roughly about 3,000 gallons of water, 3,000 to 5,000 gallons of water to produce a pound of beef. It takes roughly about 70 to 100 gallons of water to produce a pound of fruit or grains. It's a big difference. In addition, because of the waste from the animal products or animal agriculture going into the ground, wells and reservoirs and land-based water sources are getting nitrified. They're being pumped full of nitrates as well as sulfur, the acidification, which causes disorders in babies. It's called blue baby, which because there's so much nitrates in the water, the infant in this case can't get enough oxygen into their blood system, so they turn blue. People have a larger quantity of blood and ability to pull oxygen in with their blood. They don't end up looking as bad, but they are being affected.
Joining us in the studio is Steve Beer, the head of the Clean Plate Initiative of 350mass.org, an environmentalist group. And we'll be taking a short break. And after this break, Steve will be sharing more information and more about animal agriculture and its impact on global climate breakdown, global warming, and greenhouse gases.
You're listening to Community Radio, WCUW Worcester, 91.3 FM, online at wcuw.org.
WCUW has been on the air for 40 years now and is a colourful part of Worcester's history. We understand that there are many places asking for your donations, but there's nothing like community radio, is there? Especially nowadays when media is bombarded by incessant ads. You won't get that on WCUW, of course. To become a sustaining member, go to wcuw.org and click on the donate button at the top right-hand corner, and you can just choose your options. Or if you prefer, call the station at 508 753 1012 and talk to one of our staff members who would love to help you out. It doesn't have to be much, only $5 or $10 a month, or more if you can afford it, would be great. We know that community radio means a lot to you. WCUW is the flavour of Worcester.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon. Beautiful
world. Okay, we're back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Arrow. My guest is Steve Beer, a scientist and engineer and environmentalist, giving us the details about how veganism can help restore harmony and balance to the global environment.
In addition to groundwater, there's algal blooms. Because there's so much nitrates in the water, you're getting putrefied water in place. In some places, in the ocean, for that matter, where rivers have come down, Mississippi River has come down into the bay, the Gulf of Mexico, there are dead zones where nothing can survive. Fish die when they enter that area. It's just depleted of oxygen because it has so many nitrates, so much pollution in it.
It really comes down to, I saw this documentary made by Michael Anderson called Eating. He comes down to saying when we kill the animals, they end up killing us. It's the boomerang effect. It's as we sow, we reap. And whether it's environmental, global climate breakdown, and the severe devastation that is coming if we don't change, and we can change.
I've seen Dr. Anderson's film or video. Very good. There are some other good ones out there, too, that will kind of educate you or bring you along to understand what eating animals, animal agriculture, is doing to our society and to the world. One of those is Meet the Truth. It should be the sequel, or it is a sequel, in a matter of sense, to Inconvenient Truth that Al Gore promoted. Al Gore stopped short of talking about the animal agricultural edge or aspect of greenhouse gas warming, global warming. The host in Meet the Truth is a woman who's a member of parliament in the Netherlands. Her name is, I can't remember her first name, it's Thiem, T-H-E-I-M. Fantastic video about what eating animals is doing to the environment. There's also another good video out there called Cowspiracy that shows or highlights environmentalist fear of taking on the meat and dairy industry. So you get a gentleman who's going around the country trying to connect with environmental groups with this idea or this concept that animal agriculture is decimating the environment, both the atmosphere and the ground. Environmental organizations don't want to take it on. They're afraid to. One of my favorite scenes in there is when a gentleman who's a fourth generation cattle rancher named Howard Lyman sits down with this guy and says, "You're taking on some big guys there. Be prepared to suffer the consequences. They can kill you." They want to keep their devastation of the earth under wraps so that they keep selling. And it means a lot of money to them. We're talking billions.
You're going up against people that have massive legal resources, and you have nothing.
A lot of people just keep their mouths shut because they don't want to be the next one with the bullet to their head.
Cowspiracy, the sustainability secret.
I don't know that I would want to comment on that.
And we're not just talking about milk or meat and dairy industry, we're talking about the pharmaceutical industry also, because it takes a lot of pharmaceuticals to make these animals grow fast and stay healthy in their confined feeding operations. I might also add that in the waste of the animals who are in confined animal feeding operations or factory farms, the waste that makes it to the water, whether it gets downstream by going into the stream or it gets into the water because of natural disasters, floods or hurricanes or whatever, lagoons break, it's putting a lot of antibiotics into the water, into the environment, which circles around back to us. And all of a sudden, you're finding these diseases which have no cures because antibiotics don't work anymore. The bacteria has become used to the antibiotics and their antibiotic resistance. Thus, you get things like myrrh and some sort of streps that just won't be killed off or curbed by our antibiotics when we take them because the animals have all these things. I might also add, too, that when you have animal agriculture and people, sometimes the virus's DNA changes, alters, so that the host now becomes not just the animal and not just the human, but the human and the animal, say, for instance, pigs, where you get this cross DNA or this mutation that now allows things like swine flu to occur, or in confined feeding operations with birds, you get bird flu. These are not just random things that are happening. The incubation of viruses and bacteria is going rampant because of the way we have animal agriculture. The best animal agriculture, by the way, for the environment, for our health, is none.
Bravo.
And it's going to take all of us to get that message out there and say to animal agriculture, we don't want your poisons. We want to make the environment sane again or healthy again. We want to keep our health also. We don't want to die from these cancer diseases, which also is an animal-related disease. We don't want to die from Parkinson's disease or dementia. They can all be traced back to animal agriculture.
That's right. It's every action has a reaction, cause and effect. And another documentary I saw that was great on this note was called A Delicate Balance.
Oh. If people are interested in exploring a vegan lifestyle and vegan foods without having to pay for it at the store because you don't know what you're buying, a great opportunity is coming up April 26th. That's a Sunday. Between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. It's the Northeast Vegan Food Festival. It'll take place over at the DCU Center in Worcester. And again, that's between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sunday, April 26th. Cooking demonstrations, food samples. It's a Very popular event. I think you'll enjoy it. You might even see some of your neighbors there.
Yeah, the New England Veg Fest. I'm looking forward to it. And I hear you're going to have a booth there.
350mass.org will have a booth there, yes. So hopefully you'll come, sign up, and want to help join in on the improvement of the environment through 350mass.org. And if you just want to come to 350mass.org meetings, you can go again on Wednesday, the first and third Wednesday of the month, to Worcester State University, roughly around 6:30 p.m. till about roughly about 9 p.m.
Thank you for doing this noble, important work. It's about time to wrap it up for today's interview. Is there any other message you'd like to relay?
No, I think I've said it all. Hopefully you can absorb it all. It's a lot that I put on the table.
Yes.
Including a clean plate.
Yes, the Clean Plate Initiative. Thank you, Steve Beer, from 350mass.org.
Take care. Thank you.
Steve Beer can be contacted at 508-842-1450, and his email address is beerwolf@hotmail.com. That's BAERWOLF, beerwolf@hotmail.com. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're going to go out with more of Daniel Redwood's music, and this is Choose a New Story.
Across the globe and the lives of the innocent, the ones you'll never know. Time to choose a new story where the words come from your heart. Use your life as a force for good. There's never gonna be a better time to start. The path of destruction, you see it everywhere. They clear cut the rainforest, graze their cattle there. That's the lungs of the planet with cancer breaking out. More greenhouse gas, more heat, more drought. Millions go hungry while we use our grain to fatten up the animals, spread disease and pain. And now the oceans are dying. Most of the fish are gone. But we don't stop, no, we just keep pushing on. Destroying what's been there for countless years. The coral reefs, the magnificent whales, and the fish on your plate is the death of the sea. When you make the connections, the truth will set you free. Time to choose a new story where the words come from your heart. Use your life as a force for good. There's never gonna be a better time to start. Begin with compassion for all of life. Choose peace, not war. And if we eat just plants, we'll only need a fraction of the land we used before. A fraction of the water, a fraction of the fossil fuel, a fraction of the need to rationalize, trashing the golden rule. Time to choose a new story where the words come from your heart. Use your life as a force for good. There's never gonna be a better time to start.
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/veganNation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.